There was gospel meetings and chapels that were full of people and souls would get saved. We need to see that again. Well, tonight, as we announced this morning, we're going to speak about love. L-O-V-E. The challenge of love. And I'm turning to a few scriptures to begin with. 1 John chapter 3. Now that's the epistle of John back near the end of your Bible. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. I certainly appreciated my visit here today. I should say enjoyed it and appreciated the hospitality and the fellowship. Very refreshing. Verse 14 of chapter 3. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Then, verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Verse 7 of chapter 4:7, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He, verse 8, that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. I think I overlooked verse 11, which I had marked. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now I'd like to turn to the great love chapter, and that's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And just one verse, the last one, which is verse 13. The Apostle Paul says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, or love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Then the first three words of chapter 14. Because of that chapter division, we so easily overlook this challenge. Paul says, follow after charity, or follow after love. That is the challenge that I'd like to issue for our hearts tonight. What did the Apostle Paul mean when he said, follow after love? Well, I believe he meant, make it your pursuit in life to be a loving person. Make it your aim in life to be marked by love. Now, first of all, why should we be loving people? Why should we love? And the first reason, because the world or people about us desperately need love. Someone has said that the greatest experience in life is to love and to be loved. And yet there are millions of people out there who don't have anyone loving them except God. People are hungry for love. Children, millions of them, are lacking the security of love. Then, a second reason why we should love is because of the greatness of love. I believe Paul was the apostle of faith, Peter the apostle of hope, John the apostle of love. And yet John believed in faith, and Peter believed in love, and Paul believed in hope. In fact, it was Paul who wrote this chapter on love. And he said there at the end of the chapter, "Now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Now, what is faith? It is simply believing God. It is trusting, having a sincere confidence in someone or something, someone like the Savior, something like His promise. That's faith. And faith appropriates the salvation of God, the blessings of God. What is hope? Hope is the future certainty of something good and blessed. Not wishful thinking, but the future certainty of something good and blessed. Love, well, we'll try to tell what love is in a few moments. But I heard of a man, a dear saint of God, who had lived many years in fellowship with God and been a real witness for Him. But he is coming near the end of his life, and he was on his deathbed. It's a matter of hours or days before he would be ushered into eternity, yea, into the presence of his Lord. And someone overheard him as he lay there saying something like this: "Faith, farewell. You have served me well, but I won't need you where I'm going. Hope, goodbye. You are about to be fulfilled. I won't need you anymore. Love, I'm so glad you're going along with me." He recognized the fact that heaven, where we won't need faith or hope, because we'll have all the blessings of God, and because they will all be fulfilled, it's going to be one vast ocean of love. I quoted these words this morning from what I think is my favorite hymn. "Oh, Christ, He is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love. The streams on earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above." So heaven is going to be, among many, many other things, it's going to be love. The love of God for us and our love for Him and for one another. And so because of the greatness of love, we should reach out in love to others. Now, another reason why we should love is because God is love. This is not a definition, but a description of God. God is love. Now, how do we measure the love of God? By how much we have, how much money we have in the bank? Do we measure the love of God by how we feel, how healthy we are? Do we measure the love of God by how things are going in our lives? God forbid. We can enjoy many mercies of the Lord here on earth, but we measure the love of God when we survey that wondrous cross where the Prince of Glory died, where God gave His Son to die for us. The hymn writer has as well said, God is love, we surely know, by the Savior's depths of woe. The infinite agony he suffered there demonstrates the love of God. By the way, when he did die on that cross, the nails that pierced his hands, as someone has said, pierced the Father's heart. God is love. And when God loved the world, he just didn't speak from heaven and say, I love the world, I love everybody. He demonstrated that love by giving his Son to die the death of the cross. Hallelujah. And God's love is absolutely pure. You know, our love is so often tainted by selfishness. But God's love is pure. And he loved poor, guilty sinners and rebels like you and me. You know how many stars there are? Have you ever counted them? Hardly. The astronomers tell us that there are 10 octillion stars. That's a 1 with 28 zeros behind it. But another astronomer made this statement. He said there are probably as many stars as there are grains of sand on all the seashores of the world. Why, the infinite reaches of this universe with stars as big as our solar system. But those stars can't love God. And think of it. We can love God. And not only that, this world is just a speck in this universe. Just a tiny speck. And we're little specks on the speck. And yet we're the object of God's love. Isn't that wonderful? God is love. And that's why we should love, because God is love. And then the fourth reason, because God wants his children to be like himself. He wants us to be characterized by love. And churches are to be marked by love. Remember the church at Laodicea, was it? It became a loveless church. They left their first love. And I am convinced that a church without love is worse than useless. It's an enigma. Of all the groups that may come together on this earth, those who should have love should be Christians. And so we should be characterized by love. Now, what is love? Well, this is easier experienced than explained. Or as a Scotchman once put it, it's better felt than telt. But I like this definition about the love of God. It is his tender affection for people and his desire for their utmost good. God loves us. When we put our faith in his Son, the Savior, God is going to do the greatest possible thing he can for us. He's not only going to take us out of this world, he's not only going to take us into his house, but every one of us are going to be conformed unto his Son. Every one of us will have the moral and spiritual likeness of the Lord Jesus. Oh, what wonders await us up there. But as I say, love is difficult to define, but you hear a lot about love today. So much of it is just sentimental talk, very shallow and superficial love. But real love is like God's love. It is love that is demonstrated by sacrifice. And so when we love someone else, we show that love by deeds of kindness and acts of sacrifice. We reach out and love others. A thought came to mind, and almost as quickly as it came to mind, it disappeared. But when you get as old as I am, you'll find out that that happens. But, oh yes, I know what it was. There are three words in the Greek for love. The first word, I don't even know what it is because it doesn't occur in the New Testament. It had to do with the sensual love that is so prevalent among people today. But the second one is phileo, from which we have derived that word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And phileo has to do with love of friends, love of brothers, and so forth. But then there's another word, and that's agape. And that is divine love. That is the love that is shed abroad into our hearts by God and then out toward others. And so when we're speaking of love tonight, it is that real love, that agape love that we have in mind. By the way, we said that love is marked by deeds of kindness and acts of sacrifice. True love gives. You know, you can give without loving someone, but you cannot love without giving. But love not only gives, it forgives. And I mention that because as I go to the Bahamas or across the United States, I meet Christians who haven't talked to one another for 20 years. Isn't that a shame? They're in the same church fellowship, and yet they have that barrier between them, which needs to be broken down by love. Now, our next point, who and what are we to love? By the way, Christians are told, or God's people are told, saints are told to hate. Did you know that? We read in the Psalms, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. And then we're told not to love the world. That is the world system, which is headed up by the devil and energized by Satan and by demons and so forth. We are not to love the world system that crucified the Lord of glory. But now, what and who are we to love? Well, first of all, we're to love God. We are commanded to love God with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our mind, and with all our soul. Now, who loves God that way? Well, we can't even begin to love God until we're saved, because there is enmity between us and God as we are born into this world sinners. The Lord Jesus slew that enmity on Calvary's cross. And then when that enmity is gone, when we put our faith in Christ, then we can begin to love God. As I mentioned this morning, I think I did anyway, that I was in the parachute troops in World War II. And I was far from God, a fit subject for his wrath and his judgment. But God knew me, as he said to Jeremiah. He said, I knew you, and I ordained you, and so forth. But anyway, God knew me and had mercy upon me. And I heard the gospel. And one night while walking down the street on the other side of Georgia, I looked up and I put my trust in God. That is in the Savior, the Lord Jesus. I said, oh God, I believe on your Son. At 11 o'clock at night, walking down the street. And right then and there, I was saved. And what I did is I had laid down the sword of rebellion. I was reconciled to God. The enmity was gone. And I could begin to love God, really, for the first time. So we are to love God, and to do it with all our hearts and souls and minds and strength.
You know, we read something interesting in 1 Timothy, or is it 2 Timothy? I believe it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, about the lovers in the last days. I think you know we're in the last days of the church's testimony on earth. The world is moving into the great tribulation, and the scripture says there'll be lovers. Lovers of what? Men are going to be lovers of money. Remember I mentioned that at the beginning? The love of money, by the way, is a root of all kinds of evil. And then men are going to be lovers of themselves, and then they are going to be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And if you stop and think about it, there are people today, if they had a choice of looking up and loving God or being entertained, they'd rather be entertained, right? I remember a man, he used to sit in a rocking chair on his porch, go back and forth. Somebody asked him one day what he was doing out there in that rocking chair. He says, "Well, I'm just letting God love me. I'm keeping myself in the love of God, and I'm giving God a little bit of love too." And it's a good thing to just look up and tell God that we love Him. So we're to love God, and then we're to love His Word. The psalmist said, "Oh, how I love Thy law, or the Word of God." We should love His Word. And then we should love the truth that is in that Word. We should love doctrine. Now, there's a lot of people today, doctrine, we don't want that. They want, you know, something exciting. I've seen people, you try to teach them something about the Word of God. Oh, they just act like they're bored to death. But doctrine is what? It is what God has said about a thing. And we are called upon in the Scripture, especially in Titus and Timothy, to be sound in doctrine. And so we should love the doctrine of God. And I'll tell you why. Because Paul said the end of the commandment or teaching or ministry or doctrine is love out of a pure heart. In other words, the very purpose of preaching to Christians, the very purpose of ministry and doctrine is that we might have love out of a pure heart. Love for God, love for one another, love for our fellow man. And so doctrine is important. However, there are some people who are just as solid as ice when it comes to doctrine and just as cold. That should not be the purpose or the result of doctrine. It should make us loving Christians. Now, we are not only to love God and His Word, but, oh, by the way, another mark of the last days, besides lovers, is men will not be able to endure sound doctrine. They'll have itching ears and they'll squirm in their seats if you give them too much doctrine. And then we are to love the Son of God who first loved us. That one who endured that awful suffering on the cross, who not only suffered by having men inflict pain upon Him and heap shame upon Him, but who as the pure and holy Lamb of God had our sins laid upon Him. And we are to love Him. And my chief complaint is that my love for Him is so weak and faint. But I do love and adore, and I ask for grace to love Him more. So let us pray that we'll have faithfulness to God's Word and that He'll draw out our hearts in devotion to Himself. We are to love
the Son of God.
Now, we shouldn't boast about it, though. We used to sing that song, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." And it's a good song, but it's better to think of how he loves us, because our love isn't that great sometimes. Then we are to love our families. And I say this because there's been a real breakdown in America of families. I think the government has had a lot to do with that, by the way. And one of the marks of the last days, another one, men will be without natural affection. Now, when my wife and I got married down here in Georgia, we went to live in Chicago. And she'd already been up there to Bible school, and she wasn't too keen about going to gangster town, as it used to be known in those days. And I said, "Maddie, you know Chicago isn't that bad. A lot of lovely Christians, and there isn't all the killing going on that people say there is." So we moved to Chicago, and we found a place to live and settled down for about 1 week. And the man down the street murdered his wife and killed his children. Without natural affection. And you read about that all the time today. I think it was a year or two ago, we heard about two sons who killed their parents to get their money. And I've been going to Bible camps for 42 years. This will be my 43rd summer coming up, if the Lord will. I praise God. And I've seen a lot of changes in the youth of America. And half of them now come from broken homes. And I was up there at Camp Sunrise a couple of years ago, and I started talking to a boy, as it's my custom, and I said, "By the way, do you have a mother and a father?" And quite often they'll say, "Oh, I have a mother and two fathers," or something like that. I know what they mean. But this boy said, "I have a mother, but my father died 6 weeks ago." And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that." He says, "Well, I'm not sorry. He hated me and I hated him." The little boy, mind you. And that's the way it is in America. Families are to love one another. Husbands are to love their wives. And I remember a preacher saying that's what the scripture teaches, but it doesn't say anything about the wives loving their husbands. They're to be in submission. But he didn't read Titus, for there Paul instructed Timothy to teach the older women to teach the younger women to love their husbands. And so husbands and wives should love one another and be loyal to one another, and they're to tell one another about it too. I heard of a farmer who went out into the field to work after having breakfast with his wife. But in a short while, he came back unexpectedly. He forgot something, and he found his wife weeping. And he says, "Woman, what are you crying about?" And after a few more sobs, she said, "Well, you may as well know. When we got married, we've been married all these 20 years, and you have not once said, 'I love you.'" And he looked at her and says, "Well," he said, "when I married you, I told you I loved you. And if that ever changes, I'll let you know." Well, that isn't the way it should be. I try to tell my wife 3 times a month that I love her. Now, we should not only love our families, but we should love fellow Christians. This takes in all the body of Christ. Now, sometimes it is not easy. There can be some Christians that will rub you the wrong way, and they're so full of pride and self-will, they just don't want to go near them. They're always wanting to fight or argue about something. But we are to love fellow Christians. And what did the Lord Jesus say? "By this shall men know that ye are my disciples. And we should love to the extent that we would be willing to lay down our lives for one another. You know, once a year I go to a reunion of the paratroopers I was with in World War II. Not every year, but here, well, just take Christmas, for example. I got about 50 cards from men I knew in World War II. That, to me, is incredible. But we get together and we shed tears and we have a real camaraderie, a real spirit that you can only find elsewhere among Christians. And one reason for that is because we know that we were willing to lay down our lives for one another. That is, we would risk our lives for one another. I think I was telling the Thigpens last night how I lay out on a field in France, bleeding badly and wounded, and I had just been shot for smoking. I'd lit up a cigarette in that condition, and some Mongolians shot me. They thought it was gun smoke, apparently. Mongolians, well, they had been in the Soviet army, and then when they were captured by the Germans, they went into the German army, and here they were shooting at us in Normandy. But anyway, here I lay on that field, wounded, and two of my friends jumped over a hedgerow, ran out there, and picked me up like a sack of potatoes, and while they ran me 30 feet back to that hedgerow of safety, a dirt fence, the bullets were just flying through the air, and one of them caught a bullet right through his canteen, and all the water came out. But you see, they were risking their lives in trying to save mine. Now, that's the spirit that we need among Christians, and it might develop more if we have persecution. So, Christians should love one another. Then, we are to love the world. I mean, the people. God so loved the world, He's not willing that any should perish. And we should have a love for the world, too. We should love that poor sinner. Oh, some of them are so bad, you hate to even be in their presence. And we'll conclude our message in a few moments as to how we can love. But we should love the homeless. We should, and by the way, in our society, the homeless and the drug addicts and the drunks and so forth are becoming a larger and larger segment of that society. And Mother Teresa, they call her in Calcutta, India. I liked something she said. They asked her why they went out into the streets and picked up these dying derelicts and brought them into that home only to have them die a day or two later. And she replied, well, at least before they died, they would find out that somebody loved and cared. And so we should reach out to all the segments of society. If we can't reach them with the gospel, we should pray for those who do. And then we should love children. We had some here this morning, and it was a joy to my heart to see him here. Children today are victims in America. They're victims of an evil, complex society. They're victims of broken homes. They're victims of child abuse. They are victims of secular schools. They're victims of television. And what they need is love. They don't get much of it. And that's one reason they're behaving the way they do. It's one reason that they rebel. And well, someone has well said, if you educate children apart from God, you will produce a menace to society. And that's what's happening in America. But the children need love. I'll give you an example. At a camp up in Canada, And we were expecting 100 children. 30 of them arrived on a bus who came from what they called a halfway house. They were waiting to be adopted, and these were children between the ages of 8 and 12. And their parents were either in prison or had died or something like that. Well, they came into camp with that sad, sullen look upon their faces. But after a few days, they started to enjoy the games and the sports. They found out that their counselor really cared about them. They heard the gospel. They heard that God loved them. And for 10 days, they had a marvelous time, a wonderful time. Some of them were saved by the grace of God. And then camp ended, and here the bus was coming back onto the campground. Do you know what those children did? They ran and hid under buildings. They ran and hid out in the woods. And we had to take them and put them on the bus while they were screaming and crying. Why is that? Because they had found some love and they thought it was being taken away from them. And I saw it this past summer. Kids would come up to me at that camp in Alaska and they would say, "I don't want to go home. I like it here better." Isn't that sad? Not getting love at home. So we need to love children. And don't forget the young people. I'll never forget this young girl who committed suicide and left a note. And the note simply said, "No one loved me." How sad. Well, our last point, how do we love? How do we love? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, besides other things. And by the way, those are the three things that people want most of all. And it's the fruit of God's Spirit. So we have the Spirit of God, the life of God in our hearts the very moment we're saved, and we should yield to the Lord and allow His love to flow out and reach out to others. And we love by sharing with them, by sharing the gospel, by witnessing to them and praying for them, and so forth. Now, some people are very difficult to love. A year ago, August it was, I was invited to a dinner in Chicago. Four or five couples and so forth. But there was one woman there, a Jewish woman, with her two boys. And when I met her, I didn't like her. I thought she was sort of proud and arrogant. And then after a while, the Lord rebuked me. Who am I to say I don't like someone? She wasn't even a Christian. And so I asked the Lord to forgive me and to give me a love for her. And so we had dinner, and after dinner I was talking to her and started talking about heaven and how to get there, and she was really interested. And I said, "Lois, if you really want to be saved, you talk to Bernadine or Joanne. They'll be glad to help you." And I had to leave, and I left that dinner. Went on up to Minnesota for a week, and then I came back to a chapel in Evanston, Illinois, right outside of Chicago. And at the Lord's Supper, I stood up to, I think it was 2 weeks, the absence. I stood up to share something at the Lord's Supper, and all of a sudden, this woman, three rows in front of me, turned around and smiled at me. It was that Jewish woman. She had put her faith in the Savior, had been received into the fellowship at that assembly where there were also six other converted Jews, and at the end of the meeting she gave me a big hug. So that's how we love. You notice what happened? I asked God to give me the love, and then stepped out in faith to love. And that's the way to do it. You see, that person that rubs you the wrong way, maybe a saint, maybe a sinner, ask God to give you a love and step out in faith to love that person. It works. Well, that's the challenge. Follow after love, beloved. Make it your pursuit in life to be a loving Christian. And it has its reward, too. Love begets love. You love people, they'll love you back. Isn't that nice? Well, let's close in prayer. Our God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your great love to us. We just can't measure it. For all eternity, we'll enjoy it, but we'll never fully appreciate how great it is. Grant our God that in this world, as we pass through, that we might be marked by divine love. Keep us faithful to thy word, but may we also have a love for others. So many out there who are hungry, who lack the security of love. Bless us and bless this assembly to that end. Bless all the dear ones who are here tonight. Meet their need, whatever it may be. As we give thee thanks now in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.